We'll start tonight in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Reading one verse of Scripture, the last verse of the 12th chapter of Romans. 12 and 21. Romans 12 and 21. Say again, we appreciate the offering, the good place to stay, and everything that you've done for us. May God richly bless you. This church holds a special place in our heart, and I pray we can help you these next few days. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 21, very familiar to most Bible readers, said, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help us, on a victim or a victor. A victim or a victor. You see, with everything that we face in life, we have an option. We have a challenge before us what to do with it and our response to it. When something happens, we can always take one or two reactions or one or two roads. We can look at it as an obstacle. We can look at it as something that is placed before us as a problem, something that is to trip us up and to stop us. Or we can look at it as a stepping stone. We can look at it as something to build our character. We can look at it as something to get us a little further down the road. Amen. And so a lot of the things that we face in life and how we really feel about them has a lot to do with how we perceive them as they come our way. This brother that is here from India tonight, and so good to have him with us and to hear the good reports of the work of the Lord that's going on there. But do you know, if you were in India and in many other countries, a lot of things that you look at as problems would not be problems. For there, this country has been blessed with materialism, with the things of monetary value. We've been blessed with the access to hospitals and with the access to so many things. We have been blessed. And so many times the things that we come up with as problems, it's amazed me as I pastored the different problems that people had that would keep them out of church. I mean, they would be major obstacles in their life that would keep them out of church. Amen. Sometimes it would be something as trivial as the little dog was sick. Amen. And needed attention. Or maybe it was something else that would come up. Just anything. Maybe they had a bad day at work and they were just tired. Amen. You see, a problem. But it really wasn't a problem. But it rose up and it gave them the reaction that they had to it as to being a victim. Stay with me. I want to preach to you here if the Lord would help us tonight. But will you be a victim or will you be a victor? The Bible here says, "Be not overcome of evil." That lets us know that there will be an attack. There will be evil that will come our way. There will be things that we will face in this life before we get to heaven. And we will either be overcome by them or we will overcome them. Amen. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Amen. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. Are you going to help me a little while? Many of you may have come to this church tonight, and really you look at it as somewhat as a safe place. Amen. You come to get away from home. You come to get away from problems. You come to get away from job. And when you come and you enter in through those doors, you feel safety in the house of God. Amen. You feel that it's a place where you can so to speak, just let go and let God help you. And some even sometimes don't look forward to leaving, because they know when they go through those doors, there's problems on the outside. I remember one brother, amen, in the church it came, and my brother-in-law, Brother James is who it was, and he owns a business, and many different things, of course, arise in his business and different problems at times. And he's made the statement to me before, when church would be over, he would say, "Brother Steve, I don't want to go out them doors. Amen. I don't want to go out them doors because there's a world I've got to face outside them doors. There's problems I've got to face outside those doors." Amen. But I want to tell you that the Lord has given us power to be victors. Not only in the church, not only when they're singing and the power of God's moving, not only when, amen, folks is shouting and running and the Holy Ghost is blessing and we're in the company of the believers and the power of God is upon us so strong, but when you leave the house of God, He's given you power to be a victor. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. Oh, the devil's way of attack is to make us feel defeated in our walk with God. Make you feel like that you're not saved. Make you feel like you're not where you're supposed to be with God. Amen. I remember my grandmother, 80-something years of age at the time. And she said it one day. She was a-praying. And she's always been a virtuous woman. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. But she's always been a holiness woman. Amen. Prayed many a prayer for her family, for her church, and for her preacher. And I remember grandmother saying one time, she said the devil came to her while she was praying. Amen. And attacked her in her mind. 80-something years. Been serving God for years and years and years. And the devil came. Amen. And said, amen, you're not even saved. Amen. You're not even a child of God. Amen. You know what grandmother did? She began to plead the blood of Jesus. And she began to rebuke the devil. And she said, if I'm not, amen, I'm fixing to be. Amen. And she said, Lord, search my heart and search my soul. Amen. Search me, dear God. I tell you, when the devil comes at you, you don't have to let him continually push you around. You don't have to let him talk to you continually. My dad used to say, you cannot stop a bird from landing in your hair. You can do anything you want to, but if you go outside and that bird comes down, he can land in your head. He said, but you don't have to let him build a nest. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? There's going to be times things is going to run through your mind. There's going to be a devil that's going to try to put things in your mind to knock you out of service, to knock you out of church, and make you live a defeated life. But what you need to do, amen, is brush your head at it and say, I will not be defeated. I will not bring myself down to be a victim. I don't know if you've ever been talked about. I don't know if you've ever had your feelings hurt. I don't know if you've ever been through a hard place. Amen. You may say, preacher, amen, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've suffered at the hands of others. Nobody knows how bad I've been hurt. And nobody knows really what I faced. Nobody knows the tears that I've shed. And you know what the devil will do? When you start having problems, amen, now listen to me tonight. If our problem in this church tonight, amen, was holiness, I'd probably be preaching old-time holiness. If our problem was other things, I feel like God would put me on that problem to try to help those that need help from the Lord. I'll tell you what the Lord dealt with me about. And He said there is a spirit that is trying to work against this church, that is trying to make them feel like victims, that is trying to make them come to services, and they've heard so much, maybe they've seen so much, until they sit back and say, well, I just am not going to get in. I'm not going to push like I used to push for the services, because every time I get in, amen, every time I expose my tender part, every time I begin to worship without reservation, amen, there's always something happens, amen, and the devil always hurts me, and he knocks me down, and I'm tired of being knocked down. Well, if I was the devil, and I knew I could hurt your feelings and make you quit worshiping God, do you think I'd just sit back and let you come to church and not be molested, amen, by the powers of hell? Oh no! I'd do everything I could to hurt your feelings. I'd do everything I could to let you hear anything I could. It would make you feel discouraged. But I want to preach to you. It's all in how you perceive it. Amen. There's been times that I had a wave of oppression and waves come against me. I would hear the words that was said. I would see the deeds that was done. And the devil would say, what's the use? And the devil would say, hey,
Amen. There's no reason to go on. Amen. But then I would realize that it was only the devil. And you know what? Something within me would begin to rise up. And I would say, I will not be brought under condemnation. I will not be brought down to defeat. I will not put myself underneath the oppressing hand of the power of the devil. The reason some of you are battling some of the things you are battling is because you are letting the devil do some things to you. I'm preaching to you my heart tonight. Amen. I didn't come to impress you, but I come to preach to you to try to help you. Amen. I said you are letting the devil do some things in your life. Amen. You know the devil. Amen. It's almost, you know how children are. Amen. Children have a way of pushing you and seeing where the boundaries are. You can tell a child, you can tell your child, you can say, now, if you touch this microphone stand, I'm going to pop your hand. Don't you touch that microphone stand. Amen. You know what they'll do? They'll look at you and they'll ease their hand toward that stand. Amen. And you'll say, now I'm telling you, if you touch it, I'm going to whip you. They'll pull her hand back maybe. Then they'll look at you again and they'll maybe reach a little bit further. You know what they're wanting to see? They're wanting to see, where is the line really at? Amen. Can I grab it and can I just smile a little bit? And they'll laugh at me. Come on here now. Some people wonder why they have such Gila monsters for children. You need to be steady in your discipline. If you tell them that you're going to whip them, you need to whip them. I mean, reach out to her. I'm going to whip you if you do it. And I've seen them. My children's done it. Amen. They would just go ahead and grab it and just see if that's really what was meant. Amen. Oh, come on here now. And you know the devil. You can tell the devil, now, devil, I'm telling you right now. Amen. You're not going to get me out of church. You're not going to discourage me. I don't care what I hear. I don't care what I face, what I go through. But then all of a sudden, the devil goes over the line and he steps where you told him not to step. He does something. You rebuked him and said, don't you dare try it. And you know, if you're not careful, you'll back up and you'll say, well, all right, let's move the line back. Amen. Come on here now. You know, you'll draw a line in the sand and say, now that's where it stops. No further than that. And the devil will step across that line and you'll back up a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to draw another line. Now, if you come across this one, devil, I'm telling you, I'm going to rebuke you. And you'll come across that one. And before long, you're backed up into a corner. Your back's against the wall. You don't feel like worshiping God. You don't feel like getting in. Oh, I feel the Lord tonight. Amen. Listen to me. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be a victim. Get your eyes off man and get them on God. Get your eyes off your brother and off your sister and get them on the Lord. Amen. I need to say a little bit more about that letting the devil. You have let the devil. Amen. If somebody knocks on this door and this door is locked and there's no way for them to open it on the outside, they can knock and knock and knock, but you know what? They cannot get in because it's locked. But if they say, let me in, and I say, knock by the hair of my chinny chin chin, amen, and then they keep on knocking, and before long I get maybe, well, they I feel sorry for them. They're out there. And I unlock that door and I open it up, and you know what I've done? I have give the devil access. Amen. There's some of you, you have put yourself in a position to be a victim. You've went around people and you've let people talk to you that you knew they was full of poison. You knew they had run down the church. You knew they had run down other people in the church. Listen, if somebody sits by you and begins to run down everybody in the church and talk about the pastor and talk about what they don't like and talk about how everything's not done right, don't be so foolish as to think when they leave your house they're going to go somewhere else and brag on you. No, sir. If they ate somebody else for lunch, they'll eat you for lunch. You put yourself to be a victim. You let their speech fill your ears. You let them discourage you. I pastored a little while, and I've had people, I mean, I could tell they wasn't getting in. I could tell things wasn't right. You know, they were having problems, and I'd finally get to the place where they'd talk, and I'd be able to talk with them, work with them, whatever. And they would say, "We know, well, Brother Steve, I tell you my problem. I heard that you said this. I heard that this happened. I heard that this went on." And I'd say, "No, there's nothing to that. That's not what happened." "It's not?" "No. You mean I've been sitting here for 2 or 3 months and not been getting in and not worshiping God and not getting God to help me? I've been a victim for that long all because I thought something?" Come on, amen. Come on here now. Amen. But you see, when you let yourself be put in a position, when you let yourself, amen, get in a place, amen, somebody said, "Amen, well, amen, I'm just not going to be a victim." Listen, I'm a preacher's son. I was raised all my life in the house of God. I feel like a great testimony. Amen. I love the testimonies of people being delivered from alcohol and cigarettes and the depths of sin. That's great. Thank God He does it. But I've got a testimony that I've never tasted alcohol. I never smoked a cigarette. I never went down that road. Thank God. Amen. I was raised in the preacher's home. I was raised by a godly man who taught me to love God, to serve God, to live for God. Amen. But you know, there was times that I heard people run down my dad like a dog. I seen him in prayer praying for them. I seen him with tears running down their eyes. Amen. But yet, amen, I would see how they would act, and I'd see what they would do. But you know what? Mom and dad would pull me aside, and I'd say, "Just, I don't understand it." And they'd wrap that big arm around me, and they'd say, "You gotta treat them right, Steve. You gotta treat them right. Pray for them. The devil's just mad. Don't get upset at them. They need the Lord to help them." Come on here now. I tell you, some of your children would still be in church tonight if you'd have told your children, "Pray for them." Why? Come on here now. Amen. Pray for them. Try to help them. But don't let them knock you out of service. Dad and Mom showed me what it was to be a victor. Amen. And I'm trying to show my children what it means to be a victor and to live for God. But if you let the devil, he wants to make you be a victim. He wants to bring you into such a position where you cannot live a victorious life in Christ. If he can't get you to backslide, if he can't not get you to leave church and lose out with God, the next thing he wants to do is let you be a defeated Christian. Let you be useless. Let you sit on the pew. Let you come to church. And let you not ever feel like that you're doing anything for the kingdom of God. Amen. But you see, the reason you feel that way and the reason you're in that position is because you have not took the initiative to say, "I will not let myself be put in this position." Help me while I preach. I will do a work for God. Amen. I will pray. I will witness. I will work in the altars. I will labor for God. But the victim mentality says, you can't do anything. You can't go forward. Oh, I know I got the message tonight, because I feel the Holy Ghost breathing down my back right now. You have let yourself, you may have been saved for years, but you have let yourself get in a bad shape. I talked to one individual that had always been maybe we'd say an inspiration to others. It always took a front role in leading. And all of a sudden they quit leading. They quit their position and just kind of stepped over to the side. And then from there they went a little further back, and from there to their pew. And then from there, when the altar service was given, they'd just pray in their pew. And then they'd get to church late and they'd leave early. Amen. Just a slow process. One day when I was talking to him, and we were talking, and
The brother said, he said, I have let, these was his words, he said, I have let myself get in a bad shape. Amen. But you see, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. That it may all be true. But he said, I have let myself get in a bad shape. And he said, and now I feel such a shame for the shape I've let myself get into till I feel ashamed to go to the choir. I feel ashamed just to go back to the altar like I used to. I feel like people will look at me and they'll want to talk and they won't listen. It doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody thinks. When you make up your mind that you're not going to be a victim, you'll forget about... That's why you're in the condition you're in now, is you have listened to so much talk. You have let so much enter in your mind, and you've been unable to put it back out in the trash can, and it's got you in a position where you are discouraged, you're down, you're away, you're further away from God in what you want to be than you've been in a long time. You're not backslid. It's not that you hate God. But you have let yourself become a victim. I want to tell you a story. Maybe I'll get back to preaching here in a minute. Some time ago, I read a story and I wished I would have kept it. But the best I can remember, I read a story about a young girl. She got married to a man. It was like her high school sweetheart. They got married and after the marriage, he became very possessive, very abusive. And he would hurt her. He would beat her physically. And in other ways, he would harm her. And she began to live a life of a victim of terror. Her family would ask her about her bruises and about her scars and about her cuts. And she was always telling them that she fell down. And she was always giving them excuses. But they always felt like that he was abusing her. They would try to get her off to her side and try to talk to her. But you see, she lived under the pretense of a victim. He would make the statement to her, if you ever tell anybody, I'll kill you. If word ever gets out, I'll kill you. It was such a look in his eyes. And the story said that he had such a glare, Sister Mary, that when he looked at her, that she would cower like an animal at his glare. Many times in the store and as they traveled, he could just look at her. And she knew it meant she was going to get beat. But there come a time in her life that she had been beat until she had took all she could take. One day they were riding down the road and he was threatening her. And he was glaring at her and he was screaming and cursing. And she said to him, she said, I'm not going to put up with it no more. I'm not going to put up with it no more. You know what you need to do is you need to tell the devil, I will not be your victim anymore. I won't be your victim anymore. You know, when you begin to let the devil victimize you, he goes further with it and further with it and gets stronger with it. When somebody starts beating their children or beating their wife or abusing their family, well, they may start out slight, but as time goes on, they'll get so bad with it and so terrible with it until a lot of times it will end in death. And so it was with this woman. And he said, you dare tell me that you're going to stand against me? I'll kill you. And she said, you may do it. She said, but you're not going to beat me anymore. I'm not going to live like this anymore. Tears running down her face, her body trembling. So he drove her out to a wooded area. And he took a pistol and had her get out of the car. And he said, I'll give you one more chance. You'll get back in that car. You'll do what I tell you. I'll let you live. Or either you can take off running. And she turned around with all she had and she ran. You know what she was doing when she was running? She was saying, I will not be a victim. I would rather be dead than live like I'm living. Listen, when the devil gets you in such a position where that you would rather not be in church than to be in church, he's got you in a bad shape. What you need to do is turn and say, devil, you may rip me, you may hurt me, you may tell things on me that ain't true, but I'm going to run toward Calvary. And I'm going to get to a place where I can come to church and love God and worship God and not be a victim. She ran, and as she ran, he shot her in the back of the head. She fell over. He went to where she was, there with blood coming out of her body. Her in a semi-conscious state. He left her there. He drove home. The police, after about a few hours, maybe that was in the evening, the next day, her parents had reported her missing. There was some other evidence and different things that had showed up. And they came to where he was, and they began to talk to him, and the parents came, and they wanted a confession. They wanted him to tell what he'd done. But he wouldn't confess, and he knew there was no witnesses. And so he told them, where they had been. They went down that wooded area and that somebody had come out and had shot her. That they threatened to kill him if he told. That he was afraid. So he made up this story so that he could get off the hook. And they went back and that evening, and after several hours, over 24 hours of her laying out there, of course they expected to find nothing but a corpse. But as they walked up to where she was, medics knelt down and they said, she's alive. She's alive. And after a couple of months of rehabilitation and in the hospital, some slight brain damage and other problems, she's recovered enough that she sits down at a table and they bring in that man. And they want her to identify him. Is this the man that victimized you? Is this the man that shot you? Is this the man? And she began to sit there and began to tremble and cry as he glared at her. As he looked at her as he had in times gone by. And he told her, tell them I didn't do it. Tell them it was somebody else. And he glared. And with tears running down her face, trembling, she said, he's the man that shot me. And that may not seem like that big a confession until you live under the mentality of a victim. You know, the devil has done some things to you, and maybe you're at a place where you really are afraid just to come out and say, the devil has done this. The devil has put this in my mind. The devil. I've opened the door to the enemy, and now I'm suffering. Because he come through that door and I'm becoming a victim because of these things. Amen. It all makes the difference in how you perceive it. When they took Jesus and they beat him, they plucked his beard out, they nailed him to a cross, and somebody would look at him and say, he's a victim. But if you ask Jesus, you know what he would say? He would say, I'm the victor. Just because you've been talked about, just because you've been beat, just because you've been bloodied up, just because you've been through some trials, the only way that makes you a victim is if you have the mentality to think, this makes me a victim. But Christ said that if you live for Him, you shall suffer persecution. He said it would be family member against family member. He said that it would be times we would be blood against blood, so to speak. But in the middle of all of that, if you'll stand up in the middle of it and say, but I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord. Wow! I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord. I will not go through another revival defeated. Amen. I will not go through another service being a victim. But I'm ready to get a hold of the Almighty. Amen. How long has it been since you prayed through? Amen. You know what that means, don't you? Now, I'll tell you an Alabama talk. Amen. Praying through. Amen. That means you grab a hold of something. Amen. You pray. Amen. Until heaven comes down. Until the Holy Ghost speaks.
until the power of God runs through you. Amen. It's easy to be a victim and never pray through. But when you get a hold of the horns of the altar and you pray through, and you pray through, amen, you'll come up a victor in Jesus Christ.
Paul had many things to face him. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, amen, come on, pearl, sword, nakedness. But in all these things, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But in all these things, nay, for we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul would not be a victim, but he was a victor. What would you be tonight? I know this has been different. It may be different every night. I don't know. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. I told the Lord, hey man, when we stepped out this time, left a great church, hey man, God doing great things. But I told the Lord, I've got one goal, God, and that's to help our holiness people and our holiness churches across the country. And you know what I'm here for tonight in this meeting? I'm here to tell you, you've been a victim too long. You've been a victim. You have been a victim too long because you have let the devil put some things in your mind. Maybe against people or situations. But it's time tonight to say, I will not be a victim, but I will be a victor. You may be a preacher. You know what the Lord would like to do if you're a preacher? The Lord would like to help you. You know what the devil would like to do? He would like to make you feel like a victim. Make you feel like you're not worthy to preach. Make you give up the gospel. You may be a preacher's wife. You may be a leader in the church. But the devil said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. It's time to let the Lord help you in these altars. Would you stand tonight? Well, I got about 2 pages of notes here, and I don't guess I'll hit much of any of them. But I've just preached to you in my heart tonight. I preached to you in my heart. A victim. A victim in the house of God. How long has it been since you felt a victory like you wanted to feel it? Maybe there's one here, you'd say, Brother Steve, the Lord has spoke to my heart tonight. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But the devil's been trying to make me live a defeated life. I'm not praying like I used to pray. The Bible's became dusty. And it's all because I'm just feeling like, well, what's the use? What's the use? But God tonight is saying there is a use. There is a cause. There is a reason. Would you step out right now if you're here and the Lord has touched your heart with this message? Would you come? You'd say, Brother Steve, I'm not going to be a victim, but I'm going to have the victory tonight. Would you come? The Lord wants to help you. You'd say, I'll come when everybody else comes. That isn't what the Lord wants. He wants you to step out. Say, I want Jesus to help me. I want to pray until the Holy Ghost moves in my life. What about it, young people? Is there another? These are coming. Is there another? I will not be a victim. Oh, I preach to you my heart. Will you come?